The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. And today we are doing the Danger Zone year in review, the picks from 2016 and how they panned out or how they were panned, as the case may be. But before we get to them, well, you should understand that here in the Danger Zone, we're trying to help you spot where trouble is coming.
Warning, warning, warning.
That's right. We're issuing you a warning. How do we do that? Well, New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. Typically, what makes something dangerous is that if you look at the top-down level, everything looks pretty good. But then when you look at the footnotes and work your way up, you find out that earnings or revenues or other things are misleading. That's how New Constructs does its work. They dig in at the bottom and work up. And if you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at New Constructs, and they blog about their Danger Zone picks. So if you want more information about anything we are talking about here, go to the website and look for the blog. David Trainer, Happy New Year, and welcome back to Money Life.
Happy New Year to you too, Chuck, and good to be back. I'm looking forward to another very fruitful year working with you.
You know, I always ask the question, who's in the danger zone? And I think this week it's kind of an interesting answer, because who's in the danger zone would be people who didn't pay attention to you last year, right?
That's right.
Danger, danger.
Okay. So that means we've gotten a lot of things right. So let's talk. Your favorite Danger Zone pick from last year was?
Valeant Pharmaceuticals.
And you were pretty much spot on Valeant. So let's talk about exactly what you saw, how much it's down, and the rest of that.
Yeah, it was down 78%, while the S&P was up 16% from the time we published our Danger Zone report. It was a classic example of bad corporate governance. Chuck, that's the one where I feel like investors need to understand that of all the red flags, the biggest is the corporate governance. When that's bad, you don't just sell, you run, you get away. Because when we say corporate governance is bad, in particular this situation, executives are getting compensated to destroy shareholder value. I mean, that's no way to sugarcoat it. The executives made out like bandits right up until the end when it all imploded. And by that time, investors had lost big time. So when we say corporate governance is bad, what we mean is that the company's telling you that it's profitable when it's not, usually with non-GAAP metrics, and executives are getting paid based on these non-GAAP metrics, which can be going up even while cash flows are cratering. So Valeant is in many ways a poster child for why New Constructs can be helpful, because we're going to tell you not just when earnings are misleading and valuations are high, but also when corporate governance is off. And those three things are really highly correlated items with respect to when they all point in the wrong direction, it's something to pay attention to.
Your second pick from last year that you're particularly proud of?
Acadia Healthcare.
Okay, so that's ACHC. That's another one. You talked about it during the summer. Big loser ever since.
Yeah, that's right. Down 38% while the S&P was up 3%. This was a classic roll-up scheme. And roll-up schemes are effectively, you know, all three. Bad earnings, expensive valuation, and bad corporate governance. The companies tend to have executive compensation plans where the executives get paid all while doing the roll-ups, because they get paid based on things like EBITDA and revenue, which don't take into account the cost of all the acquisitions or the roll-ups. You know, who wouldn't want to be in a world where you get paid for all the revenue, but you don't have to deduct the cost of acquiring that revenue? I mean, it's absurd. Wall Street also happens to make a lot of money on these deals, too, because there's so much M&A activity. Anyway, this is one where the roll-up scheme finally blew up or imploded. The house of cards fell in on itself.
So we had Valiant, VRX, Acadia Healthcare, ACHC. Who's another one that you got on the good side?
FireEye.
So FireEye is F-E-Y-E. That's another one you published sort of in the middle of the year, and that's been pretty ugly since as well, right?
Yeah, down about 20% while the S&P was up 12%. So, you know, a pretty big net 30% decline. This was a classic, like, technology story, that high revenue growth in a popular cloud-based business. But the economics of the business were a joke. I mean, the revenues were growing pretty fast, you know, high double digits. But the expenses were growing way faster. Cost of revenues was growing 136% compounded annually, while revenue was growing 96%. You know, a lot of times we talk about, don't just pay attention to the top line, understand the real bottom line. Because even as much as the market may be a voting machine in the short term, we all know it's a weighing machine in the long term. I'm stealing that from Warren Buffett. But it's true. And this stock eventually blew up. You know, I'm sure you asked me, when's it going to blow up, Dave? And I said, well, whenever they miss their earnings. And that's what happened here. They just couldn't keep up sort of the false face of non-GAAP earnings, and eventually they had to come in under expectations, and the stock got crushed.
Now, we should point out that you didn't get everything right, but you did some research. If you just looked at the stocks you talked about as danger zone picks in 2016, they averaged a 5% return, not all losses, but the S&P was up nearly 10%. So as a short portfolio, you were on. Now, that said, it is important for us to take a look at the other side. You didn't get everything right. What would you categorize as your worst call of the year?
Our worst call far and away was Mattress Firm. And, you know, I'll be candid. I'll be candid that we had a lot of our really super smart hedge fund clients short this one, too. And they sent me a few notes along the way. Not angry notes, but it's just one of those things where, I mean, this business was awful. And look, you know, I heard from sources, you know, the parking lots were empty in front of the stores. I mean, everything was going wrong. And then out of the blue, a South African firm decides to pay 115% premium to the current stock price. I mean, everyone's been baffled by this. Nobody thinks it makes sense. But, you know, we live in a world where sometimes people got to spend money, and that helps some people more than others.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that in my neck of the woods, we didn't have Mattress Firm. And they merged with a firm here, and now they're all over the place. And I still look and go, wait, isn't that too many mattress stores? So maybe you weren't wrong. Maybe you were just early, or the problem's still coming. But it wasn't your only one that you got wrong. What's something else where you're not too happy with your pick?
White Wave Foods.
That's WWAV. You talked about that one early in the year.
Yeah, that's right. That was from February. And we saw kind of the same thing we saw with Acadia, you know, where the company was doing acquisitions, showing earnings growth, but cash flow was headed down. This would have ended in the same way as the successful Danger Zone picks, if not for them having also been bailed out by a merger. Danone agreed to buy them at about a 20% premium to the current stock price. And, you know, what can we say?
Well, but that's what you always talk about, is the stupid money risk. A lot of times when we talk about these companies, you are talking about stocks where you can make the case that they can't survive on their own. The question is somebody going to come in and pay stupid money for them? And when that happens, that's the time when you're, I think, willing to be wrong. That's the outlier. That's the South African company coming in and spending ridiculous money, because that's not going to happen all the time.
It, you know, it really is. And stupid money risk is a big factor, you know, and all of our worst danger zone picks, it was stupid money risk. Somebody came in and bought the company. You know, I think the big takeaway is, if as an investor you're betting on this kind of acquisition hope to bail you out because you recognize it's a bad business and they're just in a hot space and you hope that people got a lot of money to spend, it's a bad strategy, because it doesn't always happen. And if it doesn't happen, you're in trouble. And if you don't get out after the acquisition, you could still be in trouble, because at the end of the day, just because someone bought the business doesn't mean they're going to all of a sudden make it a good business.
And your third down scenario for you this year was, again, an acquisition. It was
Interactive Intelligence.
That's ININ. And I know exactly when you published that one, because that was the one we did for my birthday.
so I can deliver a better present there. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it was sort of not like the traditional tech company. They had made a lot of money at one point. They transitioned to the cloud. They weren't making money, not even close. Again, costs growing much faster than revenues. They had a lot of competition from bigger players like Cisco. Even when we went through an acquisition analysis, because we do in all of our danger zone reports now, as I'm sure you've seen, we do acquisition scenarios where we say, okay, this is the most we think somebody would pay for this company, or this is how much of an overpayment that would result if they bought at the current stock price. And we go through what purchasing at the current stock price would mean relative to the cash flows the company could generate in a best case scenario. So we're looking at the cash flow return based on the purchase price. So it's a very straightforward, intuitive analysis that gives us good confidence about what the sort of thresholds would be for people to buy a company. And we're surprised on every single one of these three situations by how much other firms are willing to overpay.
Yeah, but ultimately, as you point out, that's stupid money risk. And although that's the guy hitting it out of the park, when you wind up getting lucky that way, the truth is we're going to strike out a heck of a lot more often. And that's what we learned from the danger zone. And we want you to keep taking those chances. We know that sometimes you're not going to be right, but we love hearing about what you're thinking and how it pans out. David, I look forward to a lot more danger zone highlights in 2017.
I'm looking forward to also, Chuck.
David Trainer, everybody. He is the president of New Constructs. If you want more information, go to newconstructs.com to learn about the most attractive and most dangerous stocks list, to see more information on their danger zone picks and more. They're on Twitter at New Constructs. I'll be back in just a moment to talk about my forecast for the fund industry in 2017.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.